Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of MCU TV. Today is December 18th, a week away from Christmas. I am not ready, and I need more question for that. But that doesn't matter, because we're going to talk about Hawkeye Episode 5, Ronin. Joining me, as always, is Sheba. Sheba, how are you?
I'm doing great. First day of vacation, so I'm very excited. And it's been a great week, in terms of Marvel stuff, at least.
There's one or two things happened.
Yeah, you know, small things.
And folks, when Sheba and I jumped on, we said, we know we got to talk about Hawkeye, but all we really want to talk about is Spider-Man. And so we're not going to talk about Spider-Man as much as we both want to, but we will over on Guardians later this week. So definitely check out our recap episode over there, which will be full of spoilers. We will warn you in advance there. I am warning you now. We're going to talk about it all. So Sheba, what did you think about this one, this episode?
I liked all the episodes for Hawkeye, so I guess it's no surprise that I liked this one too. But I really, especially the beginning, when they had the transition, like the blipping transition, I thought that was such a cool scene. Like, because we've seen people go through the blip before, like we've seen in Spider-Man, Far From Home, where everyone blipped out and blipped back in again, and they were just like in the middle of a basketball game.
We saw it in WandaVision with the folks in the hospitals and hospital beds. And the chaos. But we never saw what it was like for an individual person.
And I thought that was so cool, because at first I was watching it, and you know, Yelena's washing her hands, and she's there, and then all of a sudden, she kind of like goes back out and in again. I'm like, what's happening here? And then quite quickly, I was like, oh, it's a blip. And then everything changed. I was like, this is a very well thought out scene. And I really enjoyed it. And really that set the tone for the entire rest of the episode. And I loved it. I screamed a couple of times. I laughed. I cried. I just, all the emotions were there. And I really enjoyed it.
This one was one of my favorites so far. And Sheba, for exactly kind of what you said, it had humor, it had emotion, character development, action. It was just really and really solid across the board. So I mean, we I titled this episode Tough Talks, because there were so many big conversations, you know, within this. And it starts with Yelena and trying to free one of the widows, and you know, what that went through and what she's been going through doing that, and then what happened after she blipped, and the former widow's there is like, no, like, this is what happened. You've been gone for 5 years, and like, you just think about, how do you explain to someone you've been gone for 5 years?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it did seem, I want to go back and maybe rewatch again, and it seems like her friend wasn't quite as startled to see her as I think I would have been. If like, I get it, like, someone disappears from my house, and then 5 years later, they like walk back in, like all of a sudden, especially in like in the same clothes, I'd be like, what is going on here?
Because I noticed that too, because I rewatched half of it, rewatched again half of it yesterday. But you're right. Anna did kind of look like, she wasn't super surprised. She was like, oh, that's what happened. But I'm assuming, you know, that they had found out about it, or they knew what was going on. But I mean, that's really, really quick, because the blip happened, like, it happened really quickly, and everybody came back, like, within the 5 years, they didn't know,
It's not going to be on Twitter yet.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe she was just like, oh, I'm used to weird things happening because I was a widow, so whatever.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's what it was. That's what she was like, oh, all right, fine. Like, you know, things happen. Stranger things have happened. Cool. I'll roll with it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm that's the only explanation that I can have, is that all of her training kind of prepared her for the unexpected. And so she's like, cool. But it was really interesting how she kind of was like, it helps to kind of explain why Yelena would be in the situation that she was in at the end of Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also interesting that while I watched Black Widow, I forgot about the snap. Like, I didn't even think she would be snapped away.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it became clear that Yelena was snapped away.
Yeah.
I kind of taken it that she'd been operating Freeing Widows for 5 years.
That's what I think.
She started down that path and was gone.
Which explains, like, it explains a lot. Like, she had nothing. Mm-hmm. She comes back to nothing and she's like, I need to do something. And that's why she ends up going to work with, you know, Val and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I thought it was just really interesting that it wasn't even a thought that occurred to me. Because I was like, oh, Black Widow's after Endgame. And normally it happens right in that, like, it'll happen in the movie or whatever to kind of remind me of it. But in Black Widow at the end credit scene, they didn't talk about that. So when it happened to her, even while she's going through it, it took me a second to realize that it was the blip, because I had kind of not forgotten about it, but just forgot that Yelena could have been in that situation. Yep.
So after that, we have our next tough conversation as Kate comes home. And this is right after the fight with Yelena and Maya. You know, she's upset, she's hurt. And it's a really kind of deep conversation with her mom about her growing up, what she wanted, what she's been doing, kind of like what, you know, a little bit of like, yeah, no, that, you know, this is part of life. You know, and, you know, this tender heartwarming moment wraps up in a very weird way where she's like, oh, yeah, by the way, your fiance is a criminal.
Yeah. And again, I just want to like reiterate that Eleanor is just very, I mean, we kind of figure out why at the end of the episode, but still, like, even before knowing the ending, she is very like, oh, okay. She wasn't like, what are you accusing him of? She was just like, okay, like, very matter of fact.
I'll look into it.
Yeah.
I think any young adult comes and tells their parents, even after everything they've been through, oh yeah, by the way, your fiance, who I don't really like, and it's obvious, he's a criminal, and you work for a security company, so you should know this, you know, type of thing. I don't think that's the response most people get.
Right. Most of the time it's like, I think you're paranoid, I think you're seeing things, or he's not like that, don't worry about it. And only until they start seeing something or being suspicious themselves that they look into it. They don't just go and look into it right away. They're usually like, wait, that thing you just said sounds suspicious. Now I'll look into it. It won't be because their teenage child has told them. which is lovely to see, but at the same time, you're like, I'm really suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah. So that conversation ends. And then we jump into one of the funniest scenes for me that I've seen in a long time, not just in this episode, not just in this show. This scene made me laugh over and over again. And it's Kate and Yelena having lunch.
And it made me laugh, but it also made me go, oh, Yelena, you were adorable. Even though she's like a train killer, you're like, oh, she's so sweet. Like, it just was so great.
I had no idea. Florence Pugh has phenomenal comic timing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something, one, you see in every actor and actress. But they also, you know, don't really get to showcase. And Hailee Steinfeld also did a phenomenal, like, more deadpan, you know, with it. But such, with just the timing, you know, and their approaches. I mean, the line, that fight was so long.
Yeah. Like, aren't you hungry?
Yeah. Hey, how are you? We were just fighting up on a rooftop. You want some mac and cheese? Yeah. And, like, keeping, like,
she's like,
I know how delicious mac and cheese is.
And it was so good because she's just like, Yelena is just so like, when she was like, you tried to kill me, she's like, no, I tried to save you. I tried to take you out of, like, I tried to put you aside so I wouldn't hurt you. Like, I was helping you. And Kate's like, what? No, I think we're seeing this fight very differently.
Yeah.
But it was just,
and at the end, Kate's comment, like, I'm glad I didn't see you. And Yelena's like, oh, that's so funny. You couldn't have
seen me. Yeah, it's like, you think, all right, cool. Like, I just, but it also still reminds me of her character in Black Widow and how she interacted even with Nat, like, just the conversations that they had. And I love seeing that she really hasn't changed her personality, like the core to her personality. Yes, she is a trained killer, but she is also, like, she's a human being. She, you know, because she wanted to see New York. It was a dream. And she wants to, you know, go look around, do touristy things. And she's just having, it's like she's hanging out with somebody that she's just met and wants to get to know better. But also, you know, she is finding out more about the person she wants to kill.
I now want a buddy cop show.
Yes.
With Yelena and Kate.
Yep, me too. I'm all for it. And if they're doing like a Young Avengers thing and they're in it together, I can't wait to see more of them together.
Oh my God. Yes. And as you said, like, I mean, this conversation goes all over the place between families. It has the serious moments where Kate's like, you keep calling me Kate Bishop to prove that you know my name. And she's like, yes, I know all about you. And yes, that's exactly why I'm doing it. So it's the combination, like, Russian, you know, tough guy approach versus the humor versus very matter of fact of, like, even like, are you done yet? Can I put hot sauce on this? Like,
yep. Which I loved, by the way.
Serious recommendation, folks. If you have not had boxed mac and cheese, and I will say we're a Kraft family, so, you know, they're not a sponsor because we don't have any. But if you haven't had it in a while, give it another try. It really is shockingly delicious.
It really is. Sometimes I'm just craving Kraft macaroni and cheese. I'm like, I just need some mac and cheese from a box. Like, I've made fancy mac and cheese before, but sometimes you're like, Kraft just hits different, or mac and cheese just hits different from a box.
I love fancy mac and cheese.
Yeah.
SD and Sammy, they want Kraft, and Jake doesn't care. We have a lot of Kraft mac and cheese in this house.
Yeah. I now I'm craving Kraft. Like, after watching this episode, I'm craving mac and cheese, and now I would like some. With hot sauce, actually, because I love hot sauce.
Oh yeah, hot sauce. We could have a whole hot sauce show. We have like rows in our fridge dedicated to hot sauce.
Yes.
All right. So back to
the back to the, yeah.
Something I did not see coming. Jack gets arrested because Eleanor turned him in.
And again, this is so it's I know it's a serious moment, but Jack is like, meh, yeah, I know. I'll don't worry, it'll be fine. And Eleanor just like being like, she's the look on her face isn't of like, I'm concerned that you were a criminal. It was more that you are ruining whatever secretive thing that I have going on. Exactly. Yeah. That was the exact look she gives.
And she's not at all concerned when he's like, I'll get this cleaned up and be back by your Christmas party. Don't worry, it's a clue.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, exactly. I'm pretty sure if you have your fiance arrested, you're not like, you're not invited to
the
party anymore. Yeah. Like, you don't get to come to that.
Yeah. And like the emotion, like the way that Kate reacts versus the way Eleanor reacts versus the way Jack reacts are all different. Like,
yes,
Kate is very like, I am so concerned for you, Mom. I'm so sorry this is happening to you. Eleanor is like, great, this is a wrench in my plans. Hopefully it doesn't get, you know, it doesn't get worse, and hopefully I don't get in trouble for whatever's going on here. And Jack is like, meh, I've been through worse, it's fine.
So we then get to another tough talk, and I've kind of linked these two together. And we have Clint going to the Battle for New York kind of monument. to have a conversation with Nat. And very kind of touching that one where he misses her, but how much he does miss her and how much she meant to him, and he looked to her for wisdom and guidance. And interesting to me that he ends it by apologizing to her for what he's about to do. And I definitely took at that point, and we do see it later, that, you know, the apologies because he's going to put the Ronin suit back on after she got him to put that down.
Yeah. And like it totally brings in, I remember the scene in Endgame where I think it was Cap that tells Nat, like, oh, or no, Rhodey was like, we found him. And the look that Nat kind of gives, the heartbroken look she gives. Mm-hmm. So you're totally right that his apology for putting it back on reflects how she felt about it when she initially goes to find him to tell him that, hey, there's hope, you don't need to do this anymore, kind of thing. And like we talked about before, he hasn't really had a connection with anyone else since Nat. Yes, he, you know, Laura and him have a great relationship and they're open that way, but he had a kind of different relationship with Nat. And since that moment, he hasn't had anybody else in his life to guide him, to help with advice or anything like that, or help him with his dark moments. Mm-hmm. And I guess hopefully we'll get to see, you know, maybe Kate's going to be that for him. He has somebody that he can kind of connect to and talk to in that way. But it's really interesting to be able to see his emotions and how he is in the show.
Absolutely. And we see that then translate into the next conversation when he calls his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of lays out everything else. And I love her comment, you didn't call for permission.
Yeah.
And he definitely, when she says that, I'm like, oh yeah, no, you were calling for permission, because you can't get permission from Nat.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically gives him permission. She's like, you do what you got to do, like clean it, like, because he is going to that dark part of himself, one that he wanted to forget. So he, you know, another, you know, deep and powerful, you know, conversation of, you know, recognizing what this choice means to him, and not just potentially physically, but emotionally and everything else.
Yeah. And I really appreciate, like, 'cause I know we saw the first time we see Laura and Clint's relationship in Age of Ultron, it was like, oh, that's sweet. She's supportive and that's it, kind of thing. But we really get to see the extent of not only their communication, but how well they know each other. And it's nice to be able to see that in, you know, any form of media, how much, you know, one person knows the other person and they are accepting of them regardless of what they're going through. It's just, you don't always get to see that. It's always somebody going, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't do that. Or, oh, well, I here's what I think you should do. And it's always one person putting kind of limitations on their partner. And it's nice to be able to see that Laura's like, hey, I know who you are. I know what you believe in. I know your character. You do what you need to do, and I will support you in every way. And I know Clint feels the same way towards Laura as well. So it's a nice change to be able to see that.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think we're going to get it in the final episode, but I'd love to see more interaction between them, like when he gets home.
Yeah.
And like I said, with one episode left, I don't think we're going to get it. But, you know, I would like to see what that looks like.
I mean, it's supposed to be the longest episode of any MCU show. So maybe we'll get something in an end credit.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. So we then see the Ronin return. And this fight had everything you would expect from a ninja assassin style, moving in shadows, confusing the enemy moving through in the darkness, being scared. It kind of reminded me of like any fight you would see, like when someone's fighting Batman.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and then we see the fight then between Clint and Maya, where we definitely see Clint's martial arts skills, which we have not seen very much of. We've seen glimpses mm-hmm. of, but we know how accomplished a fighter Maya is, and Clint's going toe to toe with her.
Yeah.
And then fight ends, and we get to, you know, another tough conversation where Clint pulls down his masks and lets her know, like, yes, it's me. And I want you to read my lips and know that if you ever come after me or my family again, I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then also then lets her know, you know, hey, we're not that different. And he has, again, what he struggles with, almost a bit of a mentor moment of like, we're the same. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and she's like, no, we're not. And he's like, no, we're weapons.
Yeah.
And we are hired by people who point us in a direction.
Yeah.
The difference is like you're filled with rage and it makes you blind as well, which I thought was an interesting choice of words.
Yeah.
And then he points out, I was like, oh yeah, and by the way, yeah, it was my sword that killed your father, but I was tipped off by someone, you know, in your father's organization that wanted him dead. So yeah, it was my sword, but maybe your fight's with someone else.
Yeah, exactly. Because somebody else wanted him dead. You should kind of look into people around you and not trust anybody so fully.
Yeah.
Which I find is interesting coming up from Clint, because he is careful with whom he trusts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an interesting kind of like, hey, if I can, like you were saying, like a mentor kind of thing, like, hey, if you can take anything away from this is be careful who you trust and put in your inner circle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Maya has her doubts. Obviously, she doesn't quite take the news as well as Eleanor did about Jack.
Yeah.
She has a more realistic reaction.
Yeah.
Kind of turns the tables, you know, on Clint, and Kate makes the save by shooting the Ronin sword out of Maya's hand. Great way to bring Kate into the action. And I love, and I mean, so we have this very, you know, great fight scene, this very serious moment where, you know, Clint is trying to control his rage and basically say, like, I will cross the line again, give her some information. And then as they're walking out, he's like, you tracked me again by my cell phone. And she's like, yep. And he's like, all right, so what's your escape plan? And she's like, Uber.
And then I love the conversation in the Uber where, you know, Kay's just like, yeah, so, you know, the person that the widow assassin that was trying to kill you, you know, I had mac and cheese with her, essentially. Yeah. And Clint's like, wait, what? Yeah. And then discovering that it was Yelena, and that's Nat's sister. Yeah. And the look on Clint's face, like, oh, she's mad. And Nat died. And almost kind of like, because we were led to believe, at least I was led to believe in Black Widow, that Yelena was just going out for revenge for the death of Nat. Like that's, mm-hmm. she just wanted revenge on Clint. That's what my impression was. And then when we find out that she was hired, because that's when Kate and Yelena are having a conversation, Kate kind of goes, hey, like, fired you kind of thing. That's when I was like, oh, so it wasn't just for revenge. There's more to this. And you can kind of tell that Clint still doesn't realize that that's what it is. He thinks that it's still wanting Yelena wanting revenge for Nat's death. At least that was the impression I got from the look on his face.
See, I got a slightly different, but I'd always gotten that Clint was a contract killing for Yelena. And that she was being paid for it. Mm-hmm. It just happened to have a personal flair to it. And so I took that from Clint being like, oh, not only is it a Black Widow sent to kill me, she's got a personal bent to it too. So this is not just professional, it's personal as well.
Right. Which I guess makes more sense. Yeah, it does make more sense.
So, but that goes back to, so thinking back to that scene in, you know, Black Widow, we have Contessa Valentina Herrera de Fontaine basically saying, you know, how would you like a shot, you know?
Right.
And I think she even says that the man who killed your sister.
Yeah.
And, you know, what, and again, how much does the world know how Widow died?
Yeah.
Or what Contessa spun in order to get Yelena to go ahead and do that. Yelena does go back and track down that it was Eleanor who hired her. Which then begs the question, was it Eleanor who called Contessa? Did Eleanor talk to... so let's, you know, reveal it. We then get a shot of one Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin.
And I don't know about you, but I paused the video and screamed for a good couple minutes and then pressed play again after. Because I was really excited.
I'll be more excited if we actually see him, which looking at the teasers for the next episode, we may.
Yeah.
Just a photo of him. I was like, eh. I was like, okay. I was a little let down by it.
That's fair.
I was
just excited that yes, he's in it to some capacity, and his hand was in it at some capacity. So I'm like, and they didn't show his face on purpose. So I'm assuming he'll show up in some way, shape, or form. Like
we definitely see in person. The teaser, you see him walking,
right?
In the teaser, so one would assume. Hopefully, we do.
Yeah.
I do agree with Tim. I'd actually be okay if they held him back for the Echo show.
Yes.
In a weird sense, if they don't ever show him, then D'Onofrio can say, I didn't lie. I wasn't, like, they could say it was a stunt double that, like, was the hand or anything else. So there's ways he can be like, oh, I wasn't really in it. So, but did Eleanor call Kingpin? And Kingpin called.
That's exactly what I was like. Who hired
Tessa?
Yeah.
So,
because that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, is Valentina and Kingpin? Do they know each other? Or like you said, Eleanor or Kingpin? You know, who hires Yelena? And why? I guess.
Well
I guess the why is that they just want Ronan gone or want Clint gone.
Well, and so that begs the question, is that the phone call Eleanor made after the confrontation in the last episode when Clint's like, I can't let this go, and she makes a phone call? Is that the phone call? It's really quick to bring an assassin in, you know, suspension of disbelief. Maybe. So we definitely, we get our Kingpin moment. We find out. Confirmation, Eleanor is really, really deep into this. We have Maya doubting Kazi because he wasn't there that night, and she's like, you're my dad's number two, why weren't you there? Lamest excuse ever. I didn't get that phone call.
My phone wasn't working.
I was in
I had
bad
no service
area.
Yeah, I had no service that day.
Yeah. Just like, and the look on his face, it was like, wow, you're a horrible liar.
Yeah, honestly. And then, you know, it was kind of like, he's like, yeah, that's what it was. And she was like, mm-hmm. All right, then I'll pretend like I believe you. And you can pretend that you think that I believe you.
Yeah.
Like they both knew, like he knew that he's like, oops, I think I screwed that one up. And she was just like, yeah.
So folks, before we wrap up, we'll go into only one Easter egg. And I'm going to give you folks some time because there might be some spoiler-esque aspects to Spider-Man No Way Home. We will try to stay away from it, but we are going to talk for a moment about something in the movie. So if you don't want anything spoiled, pause here now. Okay, so you're still with us. So the one Easter egg I want to talk about is Sheba was right. And I don't remember actually, Sheba, if we talked about this on air or off, that you wanted a tie-in to Spider-Man No Way Home. And I was like, they can't do that, like all the things and everything else. We do get the Easter egg as Yelena talks about the new Statue of Liberty, which we see in No Way Home. They've added Cap's shield to.
Yeah. And I didn't realize she said that. Or like, because I watched the episode first, and then I watched No Way Home, and then I rewatched it again, and then I picked up on that shield thing, or the updated Statue of Liberty. And then I went, oh, as I was rewatching it, because I didn't clue in the first time. It's like, yeah, whatever. All I heard was Statue of Liberty, and that was it, kind of thing. Then the second time, I was like, oh, right. Wait, that's subtle. I like it.
Yeah. I did catch that, and having seen and the reference to the new Statue of Liberty that we saw in the Spider-Man trailers, which is why it wasn't too spoilery, because we kind of saw aspects of it, but still for some folks. I just wanted to acknowledge that Sheba was right.
Yay!
For that. So, folks, one more episode left, a long episode, a lot to be tied up, and we'll see where things go. So until then, catch us next week sometime. We gotta figure that out, because I don't think we're gonna record Christmas morning.
Probably not.
Probably not. So sometime, and then definitely check us out over on Guardians for our breakdown of Spider-Man No Way Home. See ya.